Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hello, you're very welcome to Audiovisual Cultures, the podcast that explores different areas across film, the arts and media. I'm Paula Blair, and in this episode, I am delighted to present to you the marvellous Jennifer Francis, who also goes by J. Rosemary. I found Jen's podcasts while researching questions for a mutual previous guest of both of ours, Brandon Leibowitz. Jen has been podcasting and making internet radio since 2014 and loves travelling and writing. You'll hear all about Jen and her podcasts shortly. Before that, a huge thank you to our fantastic patrons at patreon.com/avcultures. If you'd like to join them in financially supporting the show in return for extras, early releases and bonuses, head over to Patreon and join one of our tiers. I recently updated the show's funding goals, and if lots of you listening gave a little, we'd reach them in no time. If that's not of interest just now, then please share this episode with a friend and visit audiovisualcultures.com for more ways to get involved. I'm happy as always to hear from prospective guests as well. If you or anyone you know of would be great on the show and we'd all learn something really interesting from, give me a shout on the website. For now, enjoy this chat with Jen Francis. Jennifer Francis, you're so welcome on Audiovisual Cultures. I think we've got lots we can talk about with you. But first of all, just how are you doing? Are you keeping well?
Thanks for having me, Paula. I appreciate you. Sorry, I'm a bit tongue-tied, as you can see. I've been well. I've gone through some traumatic experience this summer. But I've recovered and I'm well now. I'm actually trying to strengthen my health at the moment and doing some work online as I keep going.
Okay. Well, I'm sorry to hear that you've been having a rough time. So it's really good of you to do this and to give some of your time to do it. But yeah, I'm really glad to hear you're on the mend. You do a lot of really important work. So I hope that's something that you can keep doing.
Yes. And thank you for saying that. Yes, I did have a long break during the summer, maybe about 6 weeks. Mm-hmm. But I am back now, and it took a little doing to get in the flow.
Okay.
You know, but podcasting is one of those things that I can't ever seem to put down.
So on that, we met because you very kindly had me guest on your show, Tools of the Podcast Trade. And I think this is a must listen for podcasters of any experience level. I thought I was pretty well versed after 4 years of chugging along doing this, but I have learned loads from listening to your podcast. So there's always something new that people can pick up from that, no matter how experienced you think you are. There's going to be something you haven't heard before in Jen's Tools of the Podcast Trade show. And I know that you work on some online radio, and you work on something called Solo Moms as well. So maybe those are things that we can get into a little bit. And I know that you said you were keen to talk about mindset, and you do a lot of mentoring. So especially because you've been through quite a tough time yourself recently, maybe we can really tease that out as well. Would you be happy to give my listeners your own sort of introductory overview of yourself? I know I've thrown quite a bit out there, but you know better what we're talking about. So if there's anything you'd really like to point out about what it is you do and your interests, please go on ahead.
All right. Thank you again. And thank you for being on Tools of the Podcast Trade. You being a guest on it and really enhance the podcast itself. So it's very good when I have a guest that, you know, can contribute to the listeners' experience. So thank you for that. So as you introduced me as J. Rosemary, Jennifer Francis, I've created and hosted two podcasts. You mentioned Tools of the Podcast Trade, but also Solo Moms Talk, which is the one closest to my heart. Tools of the Podcast Trade is more an intellectual journey. So I started that because I was left alone by my ex-husband to raise a 2- and 4-year-old. And I've learned a lot through the 3.5 years that I've been doing this podcast. And most of it is mindset. Most of what we do or not do is a result of what mindset we're in, which is why I focus purely on mindset, even with Tools of the Podcast Trade. Because one of the things that held me back from starting the podcast for 6 years was my mindset, what I believed and what I didn't believe about myself and about potential listeners. Again, I am just a woman doing a podcast, talking about things that she loves. But I also, because I've struggled so much with different things, I find that I want to help others who are struggling with the simple things, right? You know, there are gurus like Tony Robbins and Lewis Howes, and, you know, those are, I think, help you with the big picture, setting the stage for your life. But there's always that 2-millimeter gap where you're missing that vital part to actually, you know, springboard into whatever it is that you're planning to do. And so I'd like to believe that person who can help, whether you're a podcaster or a solo mom, fill that 2-millimeter gap so you can move on to the next level in your life.
Okay, that's really important stuff. What you were saying about it's not just wanting to help yourself, but to share any of those skills or knowledge that you develop, especially with podcasting, because I mean, we've talked about a lot on the show before. It does still feel like a wild west. It's such a young medium. And so many of us, like the both of us, have come to it maybe as more from an amateur background where we're just learning on the job and we're getting better all the time. But it's really great that you've made two quite different shows, but both of them with that aim of let's get you sorted out as well, because I'm still on that journey myself, but let's get you sorted out and I'll take you with me. I think that's a really beautiful thing that you're doing.
Yes, thank you. As we all struggle with whatever it is we're doing. Mm-hmm. And I heard someone say that, you know, when we think about what we have to share or offer with others, we sometimes get this imposter syndrome, but we forget that there are people who don't know as much as we do. They're actually just reading the title to the book, and we may be on page 3 or 4 or chapter 3 or 4. And so we know a little bit more than the other person. So in order to help, you have to get out of that mindset that you don't know enough to teach and remember that you are at a place where you didn't know anything.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, very true. Your solo mom's work, that's very directly talking to a particular audience. But even within that, I suppose there is breadth, because single mothers and single parents can be from any kind of background. And you could find yourself in that position from a whole variety of ways. So there's, as you mentioned, what happened with you. Or my mum was widowed very young, for example. So she was raising two of us on her own after my dad died. I went to a school which at the time had very high rates of teenage pregnancy. So that's a whole other route to single motherhood and that kind of thing. You know, are you trying to aim for that whole breadth of that audience as well? And who are you trying to find? Because it feels like it's something that it's really, really brilliant to normalize. It's really important to normalize.
Yeah.
But, you know, would you add to that? Is there anybody else that you're hoping to find with that work?
Okay. So the main focus of the show is towards moms who are, whether they chose to have their children, you know, alone, or whether they were just left alone to raise the kids, whether through death, divorce, or just abandonment. I prefer to deal with, to talk directly to moms who are raising teens or young adults, because I find that it's a moment in time in our lives when there are a lot of things going on, you know. We're advancing to middle age. We're dealing with menopause or perimenopause. We're dealing with teen angst. We're dealing with the fear of retirement. You know, we're dealing with a lot of things. And so I feel that I'm more in a position, because of the stage of life that I'm in, to directly address that group of individuals. Now, we do get a lot of mothers who are, you know, still with their 2 and 3 and 4 and 5 year olds, etc., that really can benefit from the content that we have. I don't just talk about myself and what I do, but I also interview experts, you know. Our episode this week is about financial management and how to achieve financial freedom. That, although it's for everybody, that basically is focused on moms who are raising their children alone and thinking, I have no money, because no, at the end of in the middle of the month, the money's already gone, right? But these topics help moms to realize that, you know, you got to change that mindset and look for ways to improve your situation. Tony Robbins, I like to quote him because I'm very influenced by his work, is that where focus goes, energy flows. So if you keep thinking you don't have any money, real and truly, you don't have any money, you know, but if you can find ways, if you put your energy into finding ways to solve your problems, then your financial problems, you'll find ways. You understand? We also cover topics of health, you know, menopause, hormone therapy, you know, teenage mom communication, co-parenting. So a lot of the topics deal with how the mother communicate, you know, handle life in general as an individual. A lot of these parenting podcasts actually focus more on parenting, but I tend to focus more on the mom.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's interesting as well, because that's an identity that people can lean into, but it's an identity that can also be projected onto people. Like, is that as a mother, but in combination with all the other complexities of your life as well? Yeah, that kind of thing.
Yes, yes. Mm. Yeah, and I wanted to just say that that's the reason I chose the name solo mom, as opposed to single mother. There's a lot of negative connotation connected to single motherhood. And I just wanted to broaden that so people understand that these single mothers that are not behaving are in the minority, you know. So,
and it's probably quite a subjective thing as well as what we mean by misbehaving or not flowing the line kind of thing, what's socially acceptable and that sort of stuff. So that's for anybody else. I think I'm just saying single mother because it's quite awkward for me as a British-Irish person to say mom, you know, I would say mums. Kind of a bit weird to say, but yeah, that's a really important point. So thank you for adding that. That's a really nice idea because again, it's part of that important work, I think, communally all around the world. So many of us are trying to do in just disrupting stigmas and get people to think about, well, why do we have such a low opinion socially of certain groups or kinds of people, you know, and people come to where they are in life through, you know, happenstance, you know, so much of the time. And like you keep hearing language about, well, people get what they deserve, and I find that quite problematic as well. So, you know, I think that's really, really nice to mention, you know, the use of the language as well in your podcast. It's really cool. If you find text useful with your podcasts, we've got two options for you. You can subscribe to Audiovisual Cultures podcast on YouTube for captioned videos, and you can visit audiovisualcultures.com and click the transcripts tab. Both sites are linked in the show notes, along with information about this episode. With Tools of the Podcast Trade, you started that one a bit later, so that one's a bit more recent, isn't it?
Yes, that's not even a year old yet.
Oh!
No, so I officially started October 2021, so it's not really that old yet.
So were you jumping on a moment there? Because I think when we got into the pandemic before that, the podcast landscape was a bit more navigable, but then everybody decided to start making a podcast as soon as we went into lockdowns all over the world. Mm-hmm. And for those of us who were already doing it, it felt suddenly very crowded and it was already quite crowded. So was that anything to do with it, that you were hearing a lot of amateur podcasters and what maybe their experiences were? Was it designed to help them? What was it that got you wanting to make that kind of a show?
Well, the first thing that did that for me was my own experience. You know, I took Pat Flynn's Power Up Podcasting course. I was in John Lee Dumas's Podcaster's Paradise. And there he paired me with another gentleman who hadn't even started his podcast yet. And we co-mentored each other. But he didn't know anything about podcasting, and his podcast has become very successful. And I realized that the questions he was asking me, I was able to answer. And I was like, I know a little bit about this. But it was because of my own struggles why I knew so much about podcasting. I also found that even though I took these courses, followed these gurus, I had trouble starting Solo Moms Talk. I had trouble, and I didn't know why I had trouble, apart from the mindset. And so I realized that there was something missing. There's something missing why people can't start. So the second thing was that the statistics said that maybe, I think it's 57% of podcasts that start never get beyond 10 episodes.
Okay.
It's something like that. Mm-hmm. So even though there are a lot of people starting, they weren't getting anywhere. They ran out of steam pretty fast.
Mm-hmm.
Then I started a meetup group called the New West Podcasters Club, and that quickly filled up. And I had a few meetings, and I was getting a lot of questions from individuals who either wanted to start a podcast or they had started, but they're on a really, you know, rocky path. The path to their show or to having a successful show was filled with potholes and minefields. And I was thinking to myself, there is so much information out there about podcasting, but it's still so shrouded in mystery. You know, you see Joe Rogan and you see John Lee Dumas and you see all these people and you're like, you start doing it and you're like, whoa, how do I get there? You know, because there's so much going on in starting and growing a podcast. And so while I was doing this group and going back monthly and getting the questions, and I realized that this is something that is a viable thing to start a podcast, you know, with. And so I started Tools of the Podcast Trade. And it's amazing because I get a lot of interest when people want to be interviewed on the show. Now, partially it's because there's this race to get on as many shows as possible. Mm-hmm. I understand that. But I'm very grateful for the caliber of people who have knowledge about the industry. People like yourself who've been podcasting for years and who have experience with going through the different struggles of starting your own, editing your own, you know, interviewing people. And so that is the reason why I started Tools of the Podcast Trade. I know I can go on, but I'm sorry.
Oh, please go on. Yeah. No, this is really, really useful. Don't be sorry. I asked you to talk to me. I have to have this conversation with just about every guest I have. No, I asked you here to talk to me, and don't apologize for talking to me.
Thank you.
No, that's really great. No, just as you're saying there, you really have had high caliber guests on that show because you've had lots mm-hmm. of legal professionals, because that's something mm-hmm. a lot of us did not think about or do not think about when we're doing this, when we're talking to a stranger and there's nothing on paper to say who's allowed to do what with what's recorded. I mean, you have to be really mindful that you're giving your voice and possibly even your image to somebody, and that's a big responsibility to have, actually. We yes. all need to be on the same page about that, you know, so things like riders or terms and conditions or whatever it is, because especially a lot of us can't pay each other, you know, a lot of us are doing this for in kind, you know, and because we're, you know, financially we're just keeping our actual show afloat, so, you know, a lot of us are doing this unpaid and we're just trying to help each other out and stuff, you know, we're not like the professionals like Joe Rogan who's raking it in and yeah, you know yeah. can make a lot of money out of their show. A lot of celebrities, they get deals and the things. We don't have any of that. The people who are keeping the industry going don't have any of that. So, you know, it's so important to keep yourself right legally. So there's some really, really important episodes about that sort of thing. That's a really good example.
Yes, thank you very much for that. Yeah.
But also things, really practical stuff like equipment and how to get around quick fixes when you don't have a lot of money to throw at your kit, you know, so there's yes. really helpful stuff like that too.
Yes, and guesting, I really like the ideas around interviewing guests and, you know, how to hold guests important enough to have to let them have the opportunity to enhance your show, because your guest is doing you a favor. Mm-hmm. Right. I like to look at it that way, as opposed to, you know, they're coming on my show and, you know, my show is all that. It's more like, I'm very honored that this person is coming on my show. How can I help them help my audience? And so I really like when a guest comes on and encourages podcasters on, you know, talking to more people, networking with more people so they can bring their expertise onto their show. That really pumps me up at times, because I don't feel I have enough to give, but if I can be the reporter, so to speak, and just have experts come on and talk about what it is their experience. I know you interviewed Brendan Leibowitz. And he's a very big SEO optimizer. People like him who can help listeners focus on what makes a good podcast.
And how to market that podcast
yes.
using what's just readily available on the internet yes. as well.
And exactly. free.
yeah, without you know, spending money on ads and things. You know, his episode with you is a really important one too.
Yes.
For that, he's been really helping a lot of us out. That is the point of it. You mentioned like the host and the maker of the show. We don't have all the answers. That's why we're talking to other people. We invite other people on because we want to learn something. Like I very much audiovisual cultures is about me learning and inviting other people to learn alongside me. I want to learn something every time from my guests. It is really valuable, certainly is valuable to me. It's great to bump into other makers and you're on the same page, I think, with that sort of stuff.
Yeah, yes, for sure. Yeah, because it, you know, the other day I was thinking about it and I was like, sometimes you get into the flow of just inviting guests and talking to guests and publishing. And one day I sat down and I was thinking to myself, you know, you're really getting all this knowledge for free. You know, you're not just talking to somebody who's talking. You're actually gaining knowledge, you know, whether you're talking about equipment or health or communication or marketing, you're actually gaining the knowledge yourself. So it's like free education. You know?
Definitely. So, yeah. Yeah, definitely. I mean, it's a bit of work. The editing, I know you edit your own shows as well. And that takes a bit of time, you know, so I feel like, well, you're not totally getting it for free, you're given a lot of time. education.
Yes. And at first I was a little frustrated with the editing because you're forced to try to get it perfect. But two things I learned. One is that it doesn't have to be perfect.
True.
You know, you don't want your audience ears to bleed, but at the same time, it really doesn't have to be perfect. I even read somewhere where somebody said, leave the R's and arms in, because they sound like a normal person as opposed to be, you know, a robot, because you can't be that cut and dry when you're in a conversation, right? And the second thing is that I like editing because I like to listen to the interview over and over again because it gets into my head and what needs to get into my heart, get into my heart. And I understand what the interview is about. I understand the person who is talking and I'm able now to talk about the topic or the subject or the episode on other platforms, blog about it or put an Instagram together about it. So I'm not just cutting and pasting here. I'm talking about something that knowledge that was transferred to me. Jordan Arbinger says that he encourages all new podcasters to edit their show at least for the first 2 years. And that's one of the reasons is that you get to know your show. Mm-hmm. You get to know what it, you know, you have an intimate relationship with your show, your audience, and your guests.
And I think it's really important to make mistakes as well and to embrace that. So, you know, sometimes yes. It doesn't always work or you have some sort of tech disaster that you have to overcome. And I think that's important to embrace too, because I think quite early on, I realized, okay, there's been a couple of topics where I don't think that's the sort of thing I want my show to do. So I'm going to try these other things. You know, the first year or so was a real testing ground for me. Mm-hmm. And I feel like it's still becoming and finding its way over 4 years in. You know, it's quite nice to... Well, I'm not very rigid about what this is. You know, it's nice to do this and have a chat with another creator and to talk about what you create as well and to learn something about the creative process through just chatting about it. But then there might be some episodes where it might be a bit more formal analysis of some kind, you know. So I think variety is kind of nice, but then I don't know what that does to the audience figures because that feels very invisible to me. I mean, I can go and look it up, but I choose not to. I mean, don't know where you stand, Jen, on that sort of thing. Like, do you look at your audience numbers and where people are listening and that sort of stuff? Do you get hung up on your numbers?
I wouldn't say I get hung up, but I do check it. One, because I wanted, for Solo Moms Talk especially, I wanted to see where my audience was coming from. The other thing is that I tried because I transitioned into being an empty nest solo mom and I did a couple of episodes on being an empty nest solo mom and I wanted to see how that resonated with the audience and it did. So it was good to check that. I wanted to say one thing about, you know, the editing part.
Oh, yeah.
I had gone through probably about 20 episodes, maybe more, before I realized that my smoke alarm, the battery had gone out, and there was always a beep going through my recordings. And I never heard it while I was recording.
Oh, no.
And I didn't discover it because somebody said it. I was going back through all my episodes, my old episodes, and just listening to them and trying to improve them any way I could. And then I heard the beep and I was, oh my God. And then I kept going and it was like, you know, it was like through a lot of episodes. But I said that to say this because even though that was there, then nobody criticized it and people were listening to it and complimenting the show. So I wanted to add that because sometimes we get so hung up on these little things that happen. You know, we're amateurs, as you say, and we're doing our own thing. So sometimes mistakes happen.
Yeah.
But yes, to answer your question, yeah, I do look at my numbers sometimes.
That's a really interesting point about embrace the contingencies that life throws at you, especially when you're making it from home and stuff. And that's, I assume, pre-lockdowns and things as well that would have happened. So that kind of stuff, I think, is to be embraced. And it's, in a way, it's quite reflexive where the way the show is created actually reveals itself a little bit to the audience. And I think that's quite nice because I think it should be fine to be quite upfront about this is homemade, dudes. You know, we're just plugging away with whatever tech we've got at our disposal, you know, and we're still putting out really good work because it's the content really that matters. And maybe the odd person might have found that annoying, but you know what, if people didn't notice that much, they might have thought it was their own smoke alarm going.
Yeah, knows? Eh?
Everybody checking their batteries and they're, hey, you could have saved some lives there, Jen. People checking their smoke alarms.
That's quite funny. Maybe that's true.
Always a silver lining, eh?
Mm-hmm.
Big thanks to our generous patrons at patreon.com/AVcultures for keeping us going. If you're not already supporting us, you're missing out on behind the scenes content, exclusive audio, and early releases. As well as being justifiably smug for helping out an indie podcaster sharing free education, you can see all my mistakes and get extras no one else is hearing all straight to your inbox or personal RSS feed. Join the pod today at patreon.com/AVcultures. That's really important as well in terms of your mentoring. You do quite a lot of mentoring and you were talking about mindset. These are quite nice lessons in trying to overcome perfectionism. And as you say, you brought up earlier about imposter syndrome. Imposter syndrome comes up a lot in this show because I talk to a lot of creative practitioners and a lot of people who've gone into academia from working class backgrounds. You know, so there's a lot of us who just feel like we're not supposed to be in these realms and we're just trying to do it anyway. And we're just trying to get a bully in our own brain to shut up for a bit. Is that the kind of thing with mindset that you're interested in tackling with people?
Yeah, so again, this tracks two ways with the solo moms is that we always seem to think that, you know, we don't have enough, we're not enough, we're not doing a good job raising our children, just different things. And so those are the mindsets I'm trying to influence among solo moms. With the podcasters, it's more a matter of you have something, you have a message. Jonathan Milligan has a book that he talks about, your message matters. You have a message and it matters. And don't get hung up on the tech. Mm-hmm. Just start, you know. So that's the kind of message for podcasters is just do it. Like I think Les Brown says, jump and grow wings on your way down. And in part, when you're doing your own podcast, you can do that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you can go back later and correct what you feel is wrong. Or if somebody gives you some constructive criticism, you work on that. That's where I approach each show regarding mindset.
Great. And are there any other things, any other areas of, it could be the creative process or it could be just in life that maybe would facilitate the creative process that you like to go over with people, you know, that you mentor? Any other kind of areas? I mean, we were talking earlier about covering financial freedom with mindset. It feels like quite a big industry. It feels like there's a lot of people out there, you influencers and so on, who are trying to tell people how to live their lives. And if you do this, everything will just magically get better. But is there a way that with your mentoring that you're setting apart from that? And because it sounds like you're trying to help people help themselves, which is a really key part of it.
Yeah. So mainly is I'm just saying that you can do whatever it is you're trying to do. Right? What is your purpose? Have you looked inside and realized what it is you're supposed to be doing? And this is more for people who, you know, you're struggling because you know you want to start a podcast, for example. You want to do it and you've been thinking about it for years probably, but you stand on the sideline watching, agonizing, biting your fingernails, you know, reading that, watching that. But you're still not doing it, right? And so these are the people I want to talk to, I want to reach, because you're not going to fulfill, you're not going to stop biting your nails and standing on the sideline until you jump in, right? And do it. Just do it. I like to quote Nike, just do it. Because again, you can always make corrections as you go. Because you're not getting on CNBC or CNN where millions of people are going to see you. You're just starting and maybe nobody will see you your first month or hear you your first month. But it gives you time to practice your craft and get better, get the confidence you need to talk about what it is that's on your mind.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not there trying to tell somebody you need to start a podcast. I'm there to say, if that's what you want to do, then go ahead and do it. There's no reason to, you can't be Joe Rogan right now. You may never be Joe Rogan, but do what it is you have on your mind to do.
Yeah, no, that's a really important point, is accept that you're not going to get a million downloads. You may never get a million downloads, and what? That doesn't matter. It's okay. That's fine. Yeah, because I think a lot of indie podcasters have that crisis moment, probably more than once, where you're going, I've only got, my listens are in the hundreds or the low thousands. No one likes me. And that's a disservice to the few hundred people or however many who actually are listening to you.
Yes.
Sometimes I look at my analytics and I go, there's one person in Bulgaria listening to the show. Well, hello to you. Thank you. You know, that's amazing.
Right. Yes. Yeah. I heard, I think it was Pat Flynn who says, he's big into email marketing. You know, he'll say people will complain that they don't have thousands on their email list. And he said, if you have 10 on your email list, you have a lot of people on your email list. Talk to them. You know, if you have 100 on your email list, if you have 100 people in a room show up to hear you speak, that's a lot of people, you know. Mm-hmm. So talk to the people who are listening to you. There's a reason they are listening to you, because they want to hear what you have to say. I got that way. There was a period of time I got that way. I looked up my numbers and I was like, oh my God, nobody's listening to me. How come I don't have all these numbers? And then I remembered that, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And then sometimes I'll get a review or I'll get an email from someone who said, you know, I'm so glad you're doing this. It's helped me so much, or whatever it was. And I'm like, yeah, if it's just that one person, you know, it helps and it's doing something. So I'm going to keep doing it.
For sure.
Yes.
You never know who is going to be moved or helped by your story. So get it out there to somebody. They'll find you.
Yes.
Jen, you've traveled quite a lot. I know you like to write about your travels and things. You like to blog about your travels. Is that the kind of thing that influences your podcasting anyway? Or is it just something that generally it's an interest in your life? Do you think there's a link there? There might not be. There doesn't have to be. It's just, I'm just wondering if things you picked up along the way, how that might... You know, I like to ask people if they're bi or multilingual or anything, if language impacts their creativity in any way. So I'm wondering a bit of you, if you've traveled a lot, like, does that feed into your creativity in any way, that sort of stuff?
Okay, so yes, I do travel. Let me step back with that. At 15, I left Jamaica and went to England. I lived in England, then I got married and moved to Canada. Then I got divorced and left Canada and went to the US.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been back and forth between the Canada and the US for a while. That was the extent of my travel for a long time. At the moment, I'm in Mexico.
Oh, wow.
Because one of the things I've dreamt about doing for a long time is to travel the world. And I have a list of countries that I want to travel to and spend 6 months, 1 month, whatever. I also read a book called, let me get back to that in a minute because I can't remember the name of the book, but it's about this Santiago, you might know the book, who was traveling. He went on a journey to look for the pyramids of Egypt or something. And it's Paulo Coelho's book. It just won't come to me. And I saw myself in that little boy who was doing that journey. Mm-hmm. I find a parallel in my life with traveling.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that for me personally, if I refuse to travel or cannot travel because of health or finance or whatever, that I would not have lived my life to the fullest.
Mm.
I don't know if that makes sense. I found in the last week or so since I've been in Mexico that I'm thinking about how we hold ourselves back because our mind cannot expand to where we think, oh, I could live somewhere else other than where I am right now. All right. I don't know if that answers your question, but that's a perspective I look on with traveling and getting around.
That is really interesting. In a similar way to what you're saying about the podcasting, it's, well, how do you know you can't do it if you don't bother to try.
Yeah.
It feels more available to women these days to be able to move around the world, to cross borders and that sort of thing. But it's still not as easy as it might be for other types of people.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it's not easy. And also, I'd like to emphasize that travel doesn't have to be to another country. I think it's great if you can experience another culture in their own country. But the other thing I do a lot is I travel on Amtrak in the US by train. Mm-hmm. It's another thing I experience in England that I love, traveling by train. I've done it in the US and I just love moving from state to state on the train. You can do what you want, meet who you want, and it's slow. It's slow travel. I encourage that. I'd like to go on weekends, go away a week, you know, just different things, just so I could change my environment, change where I am. Someone said a change is as good as a rest.
Mm.
And sometimes when life gets a little bit too, like I'm held in a vice grip, I want to just knock everything away and just find myself in another place. Mm. And so I'm tired of doing that in my head. So physically, that's one of the reasons I travel. I think people should think of ways of traveling, not just, you know, going abroad, but RV travel, traveling your car, whatever it is. That's how I approach it.
Well, thank you for that. I think that's insightful, definitely. I think there maybe is a parallel to be drawn with the approach to podcasting as well, where it's about having another experience, getting out of your comfort zone. It's not going to stop any fear or anxiety you might have, but you take it with you and you just go, look, I'm going to do this in spite of you.
Yes.
And we'll see what happens and jump into the void a little bit, you know. Do you tend to meet a lot of people? Do you get talking to people? Is that part of the attraction for you? Or is it just about place? Is it just about being in a different place?
So it is part of the attraction, meeting people. I haven't met as many people as I'd like to, but every now I meet this random person that becomes more than just a stranger I met. And so sometimes the quality is better than the quantity, in that, you know, instead of meeting a bunch of people, I may meet one or two people that, you know, I end up having a long-term relationship with. You know, I've met several people in Canada like that, you know, I just met them just walking or something and found out they're from another part of Canada. And we end up with a long term, even though we don't see each other in person, we connect with each other continuously. Those situations for me are more fulfilling than just meeting a bunch of random people at a bar or whatever.
Again, really, really interesting. It's collecting up people, specific people. And
yes,
not necessarily learning something from them, but having an experience with them. Yeah, because I feel like my podcasting journey has helped me do that quite a bit, and collect up really interesting people.
Yes.
And make new friends and things, and gives you another point of view about life and just anything, you know. So yeah, I think that's really, really cool.
Yeah, that's another exciting thing about podcasting, is that if your show is a guest show, you can make a lot of friends and connection by just interviewing guests. And a lot of guests are willing to maintain that connection beyond the interview and beyond the show. Mm. So yeah, it's a really good benefit of podcasting.
I think it's all coming back to very human stories. I think this has been a real theme that has come out of our conversation today, is the different things that humans experience and what comes out of that. Jen, is there anything we haven't covered in our chat today that you were really hoping to talk about that I have missed or something?
I don't think so. I think you've given me the opportunity to talk a lot about, you know, the different things I'm interested in, and I really appreciate you for that. No, I just think I said what's on my mind. And I'd like to be able to come back and talk to you, or have you come back on my show and talk more about what you're doing in audiovisual cultures.
Yeah, I'd really love that. I think, yeah, that'd be a really nice thing to do, be catch up again on each other's shows. Because yes. I just really so enjoy talking to you. I always come away thinking about things slightly differently when I've talked to you or listened to your show. So yeah, brilliant. I'd love that.
Yeah, and I appreciate you listening to my show. Yeah, I'm always happy when somebody said, oh, I will listen to your show. Thank you.
Yeah, well, I've definitely learned a lot from Tools of the Podcast Trade. I really highly recommend it. So Jen, before I let you get on with your day, would you just point listeners to where they can find out more about you, more about your podcasts? So any of your social links or websites or anything like that where people can go and look up a bit more?
Okay, thank you for that. So on Solo Moms Talk, the link is, my website is solomoms-talk.com. Or if you go on Instagram on @jrosemary1 or Twitter, and on Facebook, I'm there as Solo Moms, J. Rosemary. Any of those names, you'll find me on any social media. Also, on Tools of the Podcast Trade, is just the website, toolsofthepodcasttrade.com.
That's fab. Thank you so much. Yeah, and thank you for giving me another hour of your time. And it's just been an absolute delight to have you on Audiovisual Cultures. And yeah, I really hope you will come back and we can pick up on some of these really interesting topics that we've been talking about.
Thank you very much for having me on, Paul. I appreciate you.
Thank you for tuning in to this Cozy Pea Pod production. If you got something out of this episode, we'd really appreciate it if you could give us a good rating wherever you're accessing it and share it with someone you know will find it really interesting. If early releases and bonus content sound appealing, visit patreon.com/avcultures and join one of our support tiers. If you want to help the show but can't manage a membership, we'd love you to join the conversation with AV Cultures Pod on Instagram, Facebook or Twitter. The music is Common Ground by Airtone, used under a 3.0 Creative Commons non-commercial license and is available at ccmixter.org. I've been Paula Blair, and you've been a fantastic audience. Mind yourselves, until next time.